everybody. This is Ted Bell reminding you the Phil Henry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And a computer virus that circulated across the internet last week, hard on the heels of another nasty online infection, is the fastest email outbreak ever, according to antivirus experts. And Herb Sewell is back with us from SCAN. This virus, Herb, is called... hold on. Do we not have Herb? All right. Well, let me just say that this virus is called So Big F, I should say. It apparently affects email and is spreading throughout the world. I don't know if we have Herb Sewell back yet. Herb, you there?
Right here, Phil.
Okay, I was talking about, is this the fastest spreading email virus ever?
Without question, Phil, this virus has a lot of us worried. We've seen viruses, the Smiley virus, the Candy virus, the multiple MPG viruses. We've had a great many, but we've always been able to weather the storm. This virus is going around the world and infecting the email and then traveling into the address books, and in the process can wipe hard drives clean.
Wow, on PCs?
Every computer that it infects, it will wipe the hard drive clean. Nothing but zeros. Every disk. And then what we're seeing, it moves on working through the address book to infect and destroy the computers of others.
So it's wiping everything out.
To quote one of the people I spoke with this morning, it's spreading like wildfire. And we don't even have control of it. But that's not the worst of it, because the problem is we're not talking about corporate email, we're talking about the private email of individuals. And so this means the computers of your listeners.
So everyone listening to me right now with a computer is subject,
they're very much exposed.
They're very much exposed to this, and this goes on through the address books?
It goes, and it's very easily done. Any attachment, you don't even have to open an email. We have indication that this virus, Phil, can jump the electronics of the computer. And what we mean by that is it can insert itself in the fiber optic or in the cable lines of your home. And there is every indication that the So Big F virus, if it does that, the people or the persons that created this can tap or record information
Over the phone.
That is correct. It's multi-staged.
So we're talking about a computer virus that's bigger than anything we've ever seen. It's crossing the lines of the device.
Because of the kind of virus it is, yes. And I don't know whether whoever created it is. I said to one of my partners, Art Cottrell, I said this. Frankly, I don't know whether to love him or hate him. He must be a mad genius. And again, we're not certain. The endgame's at the computer virus. if it travels to the electronics and the cabling in the home, and it can affect blow dryers, it can affect television sets. So it's frightening. And I think I'm being prudent when I say to your listeners that probably turning computers off for the time being, so that there is no threat whatsoever that this computer virus can jump the electronics and get into the cabling of the fiber optics.
All right, so we are talking about a computer virus that can now move into other appliances?
That is correct, yes.
All right, we're talking with Herb Sewell. He's with SCAN. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. If you own a computer, if you have email, you're going to want to listen to what we're saying. Now, you told me there's a big, kind of frightening end game. What is that?
We don't know if what I'm about to tell you is for certain, but we have seen some evidence of it, and we're not certain. The end game is that the computer virus, if it travels to electronics and the cabling in your home, it can affect blow dryers, it can affect television sets, to the point that we think, and I'd like to underline that, people's health can be in danger.
What do you mean? It's not going to...
Well, it can shut down respirators, security that was working. Remember, that's your computer. And that it runs security. So it'll stop working. If the security apparatus to your home stops working, then you have people in your house, and you're vulnerable to a break-in. And I don't think that I need to get graphic, but you can well imagine.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This computer virus called SoBig.F is spreading like wildfire. It's going into the email programs of people's computers. It's wiping out hard drives. Herb Sewell is the first computer expert that I've heard say that it can actually jump the computer electronic into the cabling or the fiber optics of your phone system. Are you saying the individuals that designed this want to tap the phones?
What I'm saying is that the people who designed this computer virus want, for spamming purposes, to get the email addresses of every computer that they can, and as well as the telephone records, if possible. So that they can use this in, and it's understandable because business has been hurt by people trying to get rid of telemarketers, and people have been and businesses have been hurt by people trying to get rid of spamming. So I can understand someone wanting to create a virus like this.
A guy creates a virus like this so he can spam computers and get to telephone records. That's an invasion of privacy.
Well, it's an invasion of privacy, but anti-spamming legislation and anti-telemarketing legislation is a direct insult and a slap to the face of every hard-working businessman. You don't have any right at all to keep me from calling your home. And yet they have legislation...
Of course I do.
No, you don't, because I have a telephone. I have the right to call your number. By the same token, I have the right to get into your computer and to send you a legitimate advertising piece of material. And yet the anti-spam people have kept them from doing that. So what you have is the very understandable response of business to create a virus that will invade the computer and obtain this information. I don't like it, but I understand it. And what's happened now, because of the anti-spam and anti-telemarketing legislation, we now have a computer virus that operates not only on the level of the computer, but can in very real ways affect the health of the homeowner. And we have seen reports. It can piggyback off the electronics in the computer or in the phone. It can piggyback into the air, onto the skin of
This computer virus mutates into an organic form.
That is correct. And what we've seen, the reports we've seen, pustules form that turn a very dark blue after several days. A fever begins to come on and then subsides. And when you think you're clear and out of the woods, on about the seventh or eighth day, a fit of vomiting occurs, followed by slow strangulation and then death. And this is a gruesome, gruesome way to die. And
So this computer virus... Well...
This is why I'm saying what I'm saying, Phil. And it all started with people not letting telemarketers and letting people spam the computers. So now you have a computer virus that may transmute the electronics, create an organic form, cause vomiting, strangulation, and eventual death, all because people didn't want to be bothered at dinner and they didn't want somebody calling their home. Well, now this is what you get.
You have a company.
Well, our company Scan has worked on it, yes.
And you're selling the antivirus package?
We have the software, yes. And what I'm trying to say is, if you want to save what you can, yes, they can contact our company. We have the antivirus software. So people are rather ignorant, but if they get our antivirus software.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is a computer virus.
I lost a very dear colleague to this virus, so I know it's real.
And we're talking here with Herb Sewell. Now, their company, Scan, has developed an antivirus software that can stop this so big F. Now, if you haven't heard about it, if you have a computer, you should know about it. It gets right into your email. It is slowing. If your email has been slow lately, it's because of this virus. It's affecting email in India, in Russia. It's all over the world. The email across the world is slowed right now, today, they say, by about 60% because of this virus. We have just been told by this gentleman, Dr. Herb Sewell, that it can jump the electronics and get into the fiber optics of your home and possibly affect your phone system, as well as possibly mutate into an organic form. And the whole reason why this virus was created was by telemarketers who've been shut out of homes and shut out of being able to spam computers, and this is the only way they can deal with the lack of information. Have we created this? Has our bitching and moaning about telemarketers created the worst computer virus in history? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're talking with Herbert Sewell. He is a doctor of computer science, teaches at the University of Baylor, and is talking to us. You're in a barbershop right now?
I am, Phil. I'm in a corner barbershop that I've enjoyed for quite some time.
You're talking to us about this so-big-F virus, that it is possible this virus can get into the email, can read all of the email, scan all of the email that is in your computer and start sending out private emails you may not want people to see all over the place.
Well, it not only can do that, it can get into your computer, it can scan bank records, it can scan phone records, it can jump the electronics, and it can eavesdrop. It is an amazing virus, and if the American people don't, we have the software. I can sell them the software, and...
Well, how much is the software?
Our anti-SoBigF virus software right now is running for $83 for the disk.
$83?
Yes, sir. But, again, you either buy our software, or there's a lot of pain that goes along with this, because I don't know if you've ever seen a human being strangled to death, but it's very possible.
If we don't control this virus?
That is correct. $83 can save your life, and more importantly, can save the life of an infant child that can be affected.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number of our show, Herbert Sewell, talking about a computer virus that's affecting email programs all over the world right now. This is Martin. Hello, Martin.
Hey, hi.
Yes, sir.
I'm in my car now, but can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you fine, sir.
Yeah, well, I can hear you faintly, but I can hear you. Now, you speaking about a computer virus?
This is Dr. Herbert Sewell, Martin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
All right, I'm speaking of the SoBigF virus.
Okay.
Which is affecting email programming as we speak.
Well, let me tell you, I'm living in my car right now, and of course, there's a lot of ambient noise here, but let me tell you that, you know, I began hearing you,
yes.
And at first I thought I was taking you seriously until you told me about these anti-telemarketing and anti-spammers. Do you think
yes.
that a force like that is created just by those people?
I believe.
Just to be perverse?
Not to be perverse, but to get computer records and to get telephone records.
Well,
so that
lonely.
They can...
Hey, listen.
I'm right here. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I hear you. Why don't you say that this virus might shut down the Pentagon?
I can tell you right now, you're the one that's having a hard time hearing, and then that makes me wonder...
Listen, anybody that spends $83 on what you're talking, I thought it would be the biggest scam in the world.
Sir,
you are probably the telemarketer of the world.
No, sir, I am not. I'm a doctor. Let me tell you. Do you have a computer? Do you have a home computer?
Yes, I have a computer.
Right,
I have several computers.
You should be
Let me ask you this. What kind of code does this virus write in order to jump the computer network to get into your fiber optics and to strangle and suffocate people to death.
You think it's funny to see it? So you think an infant strangling is funny?
It is very funny. Believe
an infant,
me.
A child strangling.
I thought you were pulling everybody's leg, but then I think you're serious.
So what we had a blackout last week that affected some 90 million Americans.
Listen,
you're aware of that.
We also had World War II, but that wasn't caused by a virus.
We didn't have the multiplicity.
We
have a multiplicity of computers in World War II. Today we have access to computers like never before. Most of the grid is operated on a computer system. I believe some of the deaths of infant children, the SIDS, might have been caused by the So Big F. I'm just trying to help people.
So you're telling me, just so my listeners
know. I'm telling you that if this was a virus that does what you say, CIA, the FBI, and the federal government would be on in 5 seconds.
Really? And they were like they were all over 9/11? Got you on that one, didn't I? See, CIA.
But then, I'll tell you what. I'll bet you the FBI will call you tomorrow morning.
You know, you laughing at me.
The CIA will be knocking at your door tomorrow.
All right. Can I tell you something that you should take seriously?
Huh?
You laughing at me makes me.
Angry. Listen, I do feel. No, I'm not really laughing at
you're laughing at me, and it makes me angry.
I'm laughing not at you, sir. I respect you as a person. Laughing at the concept.
Well, you laugh at the concept, you laugh at me.
Huh?
You laugh at the concept, you laugh at me, because I believe in it with all of my heart.
If you are so generous, why don't you give this wonderful software to everybody to save the world from damnation? Why don't you do that? Why don't you charge them $83?
Oh, so I'm supposed to get by on my good looks, is that it? I'm not allowed to make a dollar.
It's not going to cost you $83 to duplicate that disk. You can duplicate that disk by the millions and give it to everybody that owns a computer.
All right.
And you will go down in history as the greatest philanthropist in the world.
You know, I bet you think you're Mussolini, too.
I can't hear you.
All right. Listen, thank you very much, Martin, for your comments.
Okay.
Why don't you turn your radio up and
Herb.
Pay attention to the road, all right, before you kill someone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Real smartass.
No, he wasn't. He was simply saying that the idea of computer virus. Tell me about this computer. What are computer viruses anyway?
Computer viruses are things that will get into a person's computer via the email. Someone can send this to you. And they're there because we have simply been selfish. We have been selfish human beings. We have not allowed telemarketers, people who have legitimate business, and we hang up on them. And people who come to the door and ask us for money for a charity, and we shut the door in their face. This is the result of our selfishness, of our narcissism, of our unchristian, if you will, attitude. The computer virus was created by people to try to get access to records. So we only have ourselves to blame. I know right now in the...
Wait a minute. A guy comes to my house and wants to sell me steaks from the back of his truck, and I tell him to get lost. He had a hand in it?
No, but I don't know. Maybe he did. But it is the result of people trying to have access to our business records because we've been mostly telemarketers because we've hung up on them. Now,
And what about strangling infants?
Well, the virus jumps the computer into the... You know, you're laughing at me, too.
I'm not laughing at you, but is it can mutate into an organism?
Yes. It can mutate into an organism and strangle the life out of a brand new baby. So go ahead and laugh at me. And the next day, when you find your child laying in the crib, his head blue and the rest of him pink, you'll know what I mean.
You know something, and this is caused by a computer virus.
I think, yeah. Or it might be SIDS.
1-800-449-8686, Herb Sewell. The computer virus circling the world right now, known as SoBig.F, it may be trying to get into your phone system as well.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kitties.
One 800 888-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Back with Herb Sewell, and the computer virus so big, F is circling the globe, getting into computers. You say that this this thing is going to eventually download phone records and can transmute it into an organic thing.
Unfortunately, yes. And I know people who want to believe it, because they don't want to believe that having the computer there in their house and fooling around on it with playing Hearts or playing video games isn't going to hurt their child. But I'm telling you that there's a good possibility it can. A slow, strangling death.
All right, let's go over to Imran. Imran, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, just a couple of things here. The problem with society is people like this walk around and think like this. It's absolutely insane.
Well, like, what is do you have a computer? Do you have a computer, sir?
What boggles me, sir, hold on. Yes, I do have a computer. What boggles me
where
is
do you live?
Sound normal. You sound normal.
Do you live?
You don't sound like a crazy guy, but you're saying crazy things.
Well, do you live in a home, or where do you live?
I live in a home. I have a computer, but I know no way on God, green earth, remember the word God, is there something living going to come out of my computer? Yes, it's possible to steal phone records. Yes, it's possible to steal addresses. But, sir, you got to draw the line. It's just like, you're nuts.
Well,
I
excuse me. Are you telling me that any computer virus cannot jump the electronics, mutate midpoint, and then slowly strangle an infant?
You are nuts. You know what a computer virus is? A virus is something that replicates itself.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
It is not something that turns into something living and is going to strangle your baby with the face blue and the body pink. You are absolutely crazy.
All right, let me ask you. You just said.
All right, this is Phil Hendry. Imran, you're saying this man's nuts.
Oh, hell yeah. He's not even allowed to. I resent that. By a bill.
Hey, turn your radio down, Imran.
Anyway,
oh, he's wandering the streets. He's wandering the streets with headphones on, for Christ.
Turn your radio down, Imran. Okay, there? Oh, he's gone. All right, 1-800-449.
Sir, you disbelieve, but I saw my wife bleed from the eyes using her electric toothbrush. So sick of it.
All right, I'm terribly sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Herb, I know you're upset. Also, Tom Brest is with us.
Well, I, Thomas, how are you? I'm very good. Can you believe these Americans not believing in a computer virus that can kill your child?
Well, there's so much about the Americans that I don't understand.
Well, it's nice that you're here, Thomas, because there was a guy who heard you on the show yesterday, Wayne.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, Tom's here. Tom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Wayne. How are you?
How you doing?
Very good, sir.
Listen, yesterday I was listening to some comments. You're kind of way out in left field sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You were talking about our politics yesterday. I know that's
off the back, too, will you?
Huh?
Nothing, sir.
We have two men on the line, Wayne.
Right. Well, anyhow, you were talking about how...
That crap by Callis on, either.
Yeah, you were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, how he is a leader. It's great to have him...
He's something else, you know.
Yeah, let's go back to what the comments you made yesterday. First of all, Arnold's not German, the first thing. That's true.
He's Austrian.
Second problem, all the things that you see here in the United States, even in our politics...
How much extra for the nose hair?
Huh?
I just asked him how much extra to trim my nose hair.
All right, we don't need to hear from you, Herb. We're talking to...
Yeah.
I'm right here. This is Tom Brest, Wayne. I said that Arnold was Germanic, sharing the same culture... Because he's from Austria, but you're right. The countries are not the same.
Well, anyhow, he was shunned from your country either way you look at it. That's why he came to the States. But let's go back to what you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
You were talking about our politics, how this generation is deprived or...
Well, I think this generation of Americans is losing its grip on the American dream, and it is up to the immigrant to come and straighten things out. That's all I'm saying.
And that's why I disagree with you.
Yeah.
Because the Germans, of all people... have no grasp of what they need to be doing politically anyhow. They have the same problems in Germany as they have here.
Well,
and I've lived in your country many years,
that's right.
You have the same problems we got.
That's why we've moved here. I don't like it there.
So you're going to bring your disease to us?
No, no. I know what to do, but they won't let me do it there, so I'm going to come here.
What do you mean, you know what to do?
Look, Vane, I'm sure it's very hard for you to accept the fact that American-born politicians have put this country into what we call asswash, or the rectum rouge, but wait until the immigrants show you the way. Then you'll know. Then you'll see.
Well, see,
the Mexicans tried, and they failed.
You guys said the same thing in your own country, and then Hitler came out. I'm just saying,
Hitler came out about
crap in Europe to begin with.
Well,
you're either a wet noodle, you don't stand up for anything, or you're going for the popular vote, and that's not the way to run a country.
Let's forget Hitler, all right? Let's forget him for a moment. What'd you think of
Schultz, Kohl, all of them. They had the same problem. They couldn't run their own country. I've been there. I've lived there many years. Then what you thought was a solution...
I gotta get my hair cut, so...
Yeah,
well,
what he thought was a solution to...
Yeah.
Europeans problem.
Excuse me, Phil. You asked me to come on the show. You have to get rid of this crowd because I want to be.
All right. Well, this man called to talk to the German.
You called me a crowd?
No, I didn't call you crowd.
No, sir. Wayne, this is Herb Sewell.
Crowds are better than you.
This is Wayne, Herb Sewell, Wayne. And yes, I'm calling you, Tom, a crowd. Are you dirty?
All right, gentlemen.
A piece of crap.
But listen.
Look at this cat, man. He's like, they went at each other. Did you come at him?
I called him a dirty kraut because he's in my... You know something, Phil? Let me say this. You get this faggot on your program.
Well, I'm a...
Faggot!
I can't believe what's happening. I apologize to my caller. You there, Wayne?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I tell you something, Max von Sydow and Marlene Dietrich could show you faggot...
Well, you know, I disagree with
him. I think the guy,
if he was a serious talk host, a serious guest, then I would talk with him any further.
Exactly.
Sounds like he doesn't want to talk seriously.
It sounds to me like he's just trying to create problems.
Yeah, this is Herb Sewell.
The program first.
Hey, Wayne, get a load of this. Wayne, get a load of this. Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
Hogan.
Okay. Yeah, he's speaking German. All right, thanks, Wayne. Let me hang up on those guys. Wayne?
Right.
This is Phil Hendry.
What's the actual radio station you play here in Florida, in Kissimmee, Orlando area?
Oh, I don't know. We're on in Orlando on Hot Talk.
I'm not familiar with this area. I just happen to...
TKS, WTKS Orlando.
WTKS.
Yeah. And this guy, this German... allegedly works with the Schwarzenegger campaign.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think Schwarzenegger would affiliate himself with this guy.
Well, he sounds like a complete idiot, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I think he was just...
Herb Sewell's...
last night because what I caught last night.
Herb's back with us. Herb, what do you think of that guy?
Well, you saw how he got pissed off when I did the Colonel Hogan impression. So you can see, I don't think he's playing with a foot. Hey, Tom.
Just playing.
Hogan, what are you doing?
See, they're trying to piss each other off. All right, listen, Wayne, thanks very much for your call.
Hey, Wayne, you want to see my leather shorts?
All right, anyway. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, the voice there in the preceding bit of Herb Sewell and the voice of Thomas Prest were both performed by me, the callers, real people with real concerns, unprompted, unpaid for, calling into a talk show, thinking that a talk show can solve all of their problems. Well, they've been quickly disabused of that. This is the Phil Hendry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. From yesterday's show, indeed, we did have Thomas Prest on. He is a fictitious reporter from the North German Radio Network, something we made up. It may exist and we may get sued, but I wasn't sure at the time. In any event, he was saying that it was for the immigrant to solve America's problems, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, because people that live here already, people born and raised here, were clueless.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Thomas, I cannot believe what I'm hearing.
this is, in an old sense, but Germany only 50 years ago rounded up over 2 million people
Let's talk about today.
I'm not American.
And the Canadian people, of course, are homosexuals.
The United States of America is the envy of the world. It still gets most things right.
Well, I have to say, I agree with you.
But it's because Americans have most of their problems because they always side on the on freedom, and perhaps there's too much freedom.
But let me ask you a question, Steve. Why is it you enjoy to have sex with a child? Why do you enjoy to take a drug to get erect for a woman? Why do you...
All right, well, you're speaking of Viagra, right?
Yes. And this, we don't need this.
Thomas, allow me to respond.
We don't have to
Pete
do this.
Townsend, first of all, Peter Townsend is British. Just got caught with kitty porn.
No.
Remember
he was
Adolf
doing
Hitler,
a search on his biography.
He fantasized about his mother. Don't try to tell me there's no pedophiles in Germany. Are you kidding me?
In general,
or did he kill them all during World War II?
No, get real. I have to tell you this, that Adolf Hitler was the worst scourge on my country. But he did level, if you will, the karma of the pederast. And it
wait a minute. What are you saying? Hitler did something right?
No, I'm saying, yes, I'm saying to the extent that, let me ask you, Steve, was it all right for Hitler to kill child molesters or not?
Absolutely not.
Oh, so you must love a child molester.
First of all,
so
Thomas,
you molest
there was
children.
No judge
thank you.
And jury.
Wait a second. Hitler murdered human beings.
Dragged people out and murdered them, and then later would say that they were homosexual or pedophiles.
I would rather live in a country like that than a country that is swimming in an enema wash.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Okay. Next time we have that crowd on, not so heavy-handed with the whole child sex thing and swimming in an enema wash. We actually looked up ass wash to see what it was in German. R-E-K-T-A-L-E-W-A-S-C-H-E with the two little dot things over the A. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Today we're going to be talking about all them dead French people. Yeah, they got them by the score, by the pound over there. 10,000 dead elderly people in France. You want to know why? Because they treat their old people over there about the way we treat ours here. In other words, they just throw them into a garbage can. They go on vacation, pitch the old people into a garbage can. You know, I said this on a show earlier, and I don't regret saying it, and I'm going to say it again. If I were a senior citizen living in America today, and unless I was filthy rich... Unless I was that old, wrinkled-up megalomaniac like that. What's that guy, Sumner Redstone? You know these old guys that have the egos, an ego the size of Mars, and they've got wives that are 20? In other words, guys that I envy very much. Unless I had that kind of money, and I'm just a regular old person in America, I'd take a gun, and I'd blow my brains all over the bathroom wall. But the first thing I'd do is I'd go out, just walk the streets like an old person, and wait for somebody to give me some crap. Because, you know, the one thing people can do is give crap to an old person. Because they figure the guy ain't going to do anything. I'll never forget, I was walking down a street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 20 years ago. And I saw this old couple, and some kid in a car was screwing with them. And, this is an old man. And he's obviously petrified. He's with his wife, and some stupid kid in a car was, like, hitting his brakes and backing up and hitting his brakes and waving the guy around so the guy would try to go around, then he'd cut in front of him. Real piece of crap, right? So I did the only thing that I could do. I picked up a newspaper rack, and I opened up the passenger side to his car, and I threw it at him, and it just about took his head off. And the guy said, well, thank you, sir. And I said, you're welcome. And he drove off with his wife. And meanwhile, a kid lay there with just blood coming out of his nose. And the cop said, what happened? I said, I don't know. That newspaper rack just got up off the street and flew right at the guy. He says, okay, thank you. So in any event, if I was old, I'd carry a piece with me. And the first guy to give me crap, I'd go ahead and plug him. Then I'd blow my own brains out. Now, I know you're saying you must be insane. No, I'm not insane. Why? Tell me what is there for some old bastard who lives in America? Show me where's the good times? Now, you're right. You're right about one thing. By the time you reach that age, you better have put away a few bucks. You better have put away a few. Take it from a guy who's supporting his mother right now. Me. You guys, Put away your money. I'm telling you, put your bread away. You don't think you're going to get old? I got big news for you. You think you're going to be lucky if you live a long life? Think again. I just as soon croak right now and live the way half of these old bastards are living. And you want to know why? Because in this country, we treat them like garbage. So over there in France, well, that's one thing we got in common with them. They throw their old folks into a garbage pit the same way we do. So over there, they're dropping like flies. They came home and went, geez, what's that smell? Oh, it's your mother. Been dead for like 3 weeks. And when it's that hot, woo, baby, that's some kind of smell. That it gets a little ripe. Like if it was below zero, it preserves her a little bit. So she's sitting there. She looks almost lifelike with the TV on and the remote in her hand. But with the heat at 115,000 degrees, and you know how they are in Europe, they just love their old buildings, and they love their old coliseums, and they love their old this and their old that, because the only reason to go to Europe is to see old stuff. See, that's another difference between our country and theirs. That's another reason why I'm a big arrogant American. You want to know why they call us arrogant is because we're young. We're a young country, and we look forward. We're not wandering through graveyards the way they do in Europe. They just wander through graveyards and go, look, this was the wonderful, and here the king, and I'll tell the story of the king. He put the crown on the head. Yeah, and Napoleon. You know Napoleon? Yes, I know Napoleon's buried there. That's the 18th time you told me Napoleon's buried there. Can I go get a bottle of wine and some cheese, like something that was made within the last 2 weeks? Anything, man.
But let me take you now over to the Louvre.
Look, dude, I want to see something new, man. Have you cats got a multiplex around here? Anything?
This is Europe. There is so much to see.
I'm out of here, man. I'm going back to the States. They just opened up California Adventure. Bug off. Get out of here. And the reason why I bring that up, why do I bring that up? Hey, France, good idea. Before you start becoming the new world leader, before you start aligning yourselves with Germany and becoming all that, hey, why don't you buy some air conditioners? That'd be a nice little start. Before you start telling the whole world how it's going to be, buy some freaking air conditioners, turn them on, and keep your old people alive another 24 hours. Because if nothing else, if I'm living next door to you and I got to smell that while you're on vacation down in Ibiza or something, and your mother is in there just, bloated, laying on a mattress.
I didn't know she was dead.
Why, because she's overweight? That ain't overweight. That's bloat. That's gas. Jesus. And my wife wants to go to Italy. Why? So we can walk through old dead places. Old dead buildings. And
it's history. I thought you appreciated history, Phil.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like once. Jeez. When I was in China, they said, let's go see another Buddhist temple. What, another 2,000-year-old temple? You know how many they got over there? I said, where are the chicks? 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Just a note, we don't book guests on our show. We don't book anybody to come in as a guest. The only people, actually, that we seek out as guests are people whose ass we want to rip up one side and down the next. As in the case of Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, which is exactly what we did. He foolishly came on the air with us, and we ripped him an ass that he'll never, ever forget. And guess what I got weeks after that? Oh, you were really hard on him. You know, the number of lightweights in this business just begins to sicken me to the point of liver bile leaking from my nose. Well, you were really hard on him, and I think, of all the owners, Mark Cuban is so fan-friendly. Don't you understand I don't fall for any of that? Don't you get it? I'm not falling for it. I didn't just fall off the truck yesterday, man. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Don't pee down my back, tell me it's raining. I don't fall for the propaganda about the fan-friendly owner. Yeah, right. Of all the owners, Phil, you couldn't believe it. I was very disappointed in my industry. Just the people I talked to after we had that guy on the air, I was extremely disappointed in the number of lightweights that populate this business that I can't get a multimillionaire like a Mark Cuban on the line, give him a little friendly ass-ripping, and then people are just like wringing their hands and just wringing their hands like grandmas because I treated him too rough. Can you believe that? You weren't around, Janice. You were in Canada. You were mercifully in Canada. Oh, yeah, there were, you know, people giving me this whole thing about, well, you know, I think it was a little over the top. I don't think it was enough. And the next guy I get on here is going to even be worse. He's going to be bleeding from everywhere when I let him out of here. I hope it's that Warren Sapp, that fat pig from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who most recently has been quoted as saying, why haven't they re-signed me? Wouldn't you re-sign me? No. Gee, they haven't. You know what? You're 30 years old, Warren. You got good numbers, but you know what? You're one player. And if I've learned anything watching football over the years, for instance, the great San Francisco 49ers of the 80s, one player don't mean diddly squat in the overall scheme of a world championship football team. So take your fat ass, take all of your illegitimate kids, pack yourself off to Japan. Maybe they dig you over there, along with the 16 kids you probably had over there, too. Okay, Warren? Thanks very much. I don't mean to be a real bad guy, but you know what? I apologize, Warren. People are probably going to say, I think you're a little over the top with that. Warren Sapp's a really nice guy. Anyway, I said what I said about booking people because Ann Coulter walked in here last night because she is a fan of our show, and she'd been on the Mike Reagan show, and so she came down the hall to come on the show, and even then I took the opportunity to tell her I thought she was full of crap, but that we admired her very much, especially her Miss Clairol scent to her hair and the way she sort of tossed her hair back as she sat down in the chair. I also called her a Nazi, and she said, thank you. I said, you're welcome. And that was the way that went. But no, we didn't book Ann Coulter in here. I got more celebrities wanting to come watch this show than any other radio show in the history of the world. One of these days we'll put a whole list of them on the website. We don't book anybody, man. We don't do the guest thing. I couldn't care less. I'm not interested in hearing from any of them. I'm not interested in talking to any of them other than to rip them an ass if I want to, or to tell them to, you know, go get into a car and drive it off a pier. But other than that, who cares? If they call in, we always are, we're always welcoming a nice call from a friend of ours. We haven't had one in a long time. Remember when Dale Dye used to call us? He don't call us no more because, you know, he's a big star over there at KFI. Arlie Ermey called in one time. All those great stars, all those great star ex-Marine jarhead guys. All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. So just understand, and you know what? I was very deferential to Miss Coulter because my father always taught me be deferential to women, and I do. And I am, and I always will be. It's easier to just go toe-to-toe with a guy and just tell him that his mama wears army boots. And your mama, too. You know, I took your mama out to dinner last night. Yeah, where is she? Under the table right now. No, but I can't do that with a woman, so I said, thank you very much, Ms. Coulter, and don't ever darken our sheets again. And she said, okay, and she left. But we got a picture of her on our website, including a picture of the first female member of our female wall of listeners who's nude. Yes, her name is Tamantha, and she's thrown down the gauntlet. She appears nude on our website. Not nude, we've pixelated a few areas that we feel it's appropriate to pixelate. But nonetheless, you can tell she is nude. So that's a little aspect of our program that I thought you'd like to know about. And Israel continues to kick ass, and we do too. And there ain't no stopping us. And I'm so happy we got Chemical Ali. And thank God we've got all of those brave men and women over in Iran and Iraq and wherever they are. They may be in countries they're not supposed to be in. Taking care of business, baby. Because George Bush is at 52% right now. Not that anything going on over there is going to help him. I've never seen a president butcher up an 82% rating faster in my life. This guy had 82% coming out of 9/11, and he has carved that up and flushed it down the toilet so fast, you'd think that it was bad liver. You'd think it was something he ate. But nonetheless, some very brave men and women are still in Iraq doing a job that finally is being done. Every day they're there, I pray that none of them get shot or killed, and I say to myself, finally, we're doing the job that should have been done 20 years ago. An American presence in a part of the world that wants nothing more than our demise, nothing more than our pain and suffering. We're over there neutralizing those guys. A country that was a sponsor of terrorism, a country that was tried to kill an American president, not that anybody gives a crap. tried to have an American president assassinated. Not that anybody over here could even care less, but that the guy tried to have that done, and we're finally over there taking care of business. And Israel's doing the same thing against those guys in Palestine, and guess what? Because they defended themselves with an attack on some Hamas scumbag, they say the truce is off, even though they blew up a bus in Jerusalem. These people are insane, absolutely insane. The sooner they go in there with a blowtorch and root every last one of them out, the sooner I'll be playing piano again. Excuse me. Even in Baghdad, the Iraqi people are going, why would you blow up the UN? What is that about? It's a piece of the world that has harbored mentally unstable serial assassins for a long time, and now America's going in with the blowtorch. And it's pissing people off. It's very uncomfortable. We're very arrogant, and we're humiliating them. No, we're not. We're humiliating the rich people. We're humiliating the Ba'ath Party. We're humiliating all those guys that drive around in Mercedes. We're not humiliating any of the regular people. The farmers and the merchants, they love us. They love us being there. The people that are getting humiliated are all the rich people. All of the friends of Saddam that had the rooftop bathtubs and had the special ass bidets or whatever the hell they had over there. Those are the guys that are getting humiliated. But I'm just going to say this because I know it's really boring talking about all this stuff, right? Well, let me tell you what's happening over there right now, if anybody's interested, what's happening over there right now is going to change the face of this world for the next 60 to 70 years to come. It has effectively saved our country probably 30 years of stupid, worthless diplomatic shuttling. And what Israel's doing, man, is long overdue. Long overdue. Long overdue. Go in and shove a scud right up their rear end, put a stinger right up their you-know-what, and force the Palestinians, man, to face the facts and face the music. Hey, what do we want to do? We want to stay with this Hezbollah. You know, those guys are Iranians. What the hell are they doing over there? Why don't you Iranians do everybody a favor and join Jim Jones in one big toast of Kool-Aid, man, that big happy face to summer. Just, I'd love to see a pile of you guys bloating in the noonday sun, but I guess that ain't going to happen, huh? Well, maybe we'll just turn our attention to you later on. See, Americans, they don't want to hear about this. They just want to, let's get back to the domestic stuff. Well, we don't know any more about domestic stuff than we know about international stuff. In fact, I'd rather be talking about international stuff. When we get on the domestic stuff, it's sad because Schwarzenegger, he don't even know what he's talking about. Now he wants to raise taxes. Yesterday he wanted to lower taxes. Now he doesn't even want to talk about the numbers because Americans don't get that. That's Arnie. That's California, and that's in our future, too. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. So enough about all that nasty crap going on over there in Iraq. Coming up, Johnny Depp. Oh, our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Top 100 phone calls of the year are going to be repeated on Labor Day weekend. On that Monday, that's Labor Day, in fact. And we're going to repeat the show that we originally aired on the July 4th weekend, our top 100 calls of the year. Just a little Labor Day treat from us to you. Just something that we wanted to do because we frankly want to take the day off and we need some good tape. We have it and we're going to throw it up and we'll pretend like it's a really special day so you guys can listen to it and go, wow, look what Phil did for us, when in point of fact, it's a repeat of a show that's 2 months old. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, Bush, he's flushed that 80% right into the crapper, baby. Hey, but we're not going to go on that. Let's talk about really important stuff. Let's talk about Jennifer Lopez and the fact that we can't get away from her mug for love or money. Oh, my God. There's nobody is that interested in her. What is the press? Why are they making the mistake with her kisser on every magazine? No one's that interested in her. I'll tell you what, they may be, but they're getting sick of it. They're getting tired of looking at her, even that big rear end of hers. We're over it, man. We moved on now, okay? Reese, what happened to Reese Witherspoon? I thought she was the big flavor of the month. What happened to, what's her name? Goldie Hawn's kid. What's her name? Kate Hudson. Where's she at? No, I got to keep looking at the big rear end of Jennifer Lopez and that dimwit, that Ben Affleck. This guy had a brain. He'd take it out and play with it. I mean, for God, I understand he's a tremendous actor. He's a great actor. That doesn't make you a rocket scientist. This guy, he looks like, you look into those eyes, man, and you swear to God, there's no back to his head, man. It's like the thousand-yard stare. He's just got that dim, dreamy stare in his face. I don't know, it's a Project Greenlight, man. Finding the young filmmakers of tomorrow. Yes, we must find the young filmmakers of tomorrow. Who's going to make the new bad movies? Who are the new generation of men and women that will cop our $8 a night? So we can sit in there and watch some other self-indulgent swill. So Jennifer Lopez, do you identify with her? Anybody out there identify with her? Does anybody out there really? Are you Jenny from the block, too? Do you want to be her? Huh? Do you want to grow up to become sort of vague? Just a vague person. Just singer? No, it's an actress? Good looking? Maybe. A lot of women better looking than her, I can tell you that. So what is it, man? Hey, look, it's fine. Everybody gets their 15 minutes. Enough already, okay? Take her off the newsstand. Move on. Something, anything. What happened to that wolf boy? What happened to the kid who had the big pointed ears? Get him back. Anything but her. Jesus. She's beginning to look like that kid with the big pointed ears. And Ben Affleck. Ben and J-Lo. J-Lo and Ben. They butchered up that movie. Is it any secret, huh, that maybe they're not the draw you think they are? Bring back Bubble Boy. Bring back the guy that ate his own foot. Bring back the woman that ate her own kids. By the way, where is she now, Calista Flockhart? Is she around? Oh, she's with Harrison Ford. She eating his kids yet? Oh, that's great. Anything. Now I got Arnold Schwarzenegger pretending, boy, you can dress a monkey up, but you can't take him out of the zoo. Look at that guy. Look at that Schwarzenegger. You can put a nice pair of threads on an ape, but he's still just Ape Man. He's Tarzan. Look at this guy. You got to be swinging from a freaking vine, this Schwarzenegger. And he's going to run California? Please, God, tell me I'm dreaming. Tell me I'm sleeping. Wake me up, somebody. Look at him. He ought to have on that leopard skin loincloth. Yeah, Jane. I mean, I know Tarzan wasn't a kraut, but it'll sound like dumb talk anyway. And he's got Warren Buffett telling him what's up. Just get all the rich guys, Arnold. Arnold, if you get enough rich cats to advise you, then this is what's going to happen. You'll screw everybody out of a decent day's wage. You'll overprice everything, and that's how you get to be rich. That's how you do it, man. You mean that's what the Democrats are already doing? Well, you're just going to have to keep right on doing that. Warren Buffett got rich. All the rest of these guys got rich, making sure that they paid as little as they could to their employees and charged as much as they could to their consumers. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing immoral about that. And there's nothing about that that's false. That is exactly true, and that's exactly what business does. Business tries to squeeze as much money as it can out of the consumer, and it tries to squeeze as much money away from the employee, from the worker. That's how business makes money. They give raises reluctantly. They raise prices with glee. They love to see demand go up because the minute demand goes up, they have no mercy. They'll raise their prices. The minute demand goes up, by the way, they can then have some pity on their workers and afford to pay more money. But if the demand is at a certain level, if scientifically and mathematically, you know, the little Poindexter they got there in the back room with the pencil and, the big oversized shades, and he's got the little visor on and he's taking bets on the side, the way he does all the books, Jesus, you guys will be in freaking San Quentin before nightfall. But in any event, the way he's got it figured out, you ought to be a multimillionaire come Friday. So that's what you do. So Arnold's surrounding himself with Warren Buffett and who's the other guy? George Shultz, the guy with the tiger tattooed on his ass, and Pete Wilson. There's another brain surgeon they got in there. That's the guy who admittedly himself says that he got at California the energy. At least part of the problem California was in the energy crisis is because of Wilson. He'll win. Schwarzenegger. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking maybe he won't now. Now I've been looking at things. I've been kind of, I think people are out of the fever dream is leaving people, and they're starting to see exactly what horror awaits them if this guy gets elected. And I think people are beginning to wise up. Because I think you're going to see this whole thing stabilize a little bit, and I think you're going to see Davis come back in the polls. You watch. Think I'm kidding? This time next week, call me. Davis is going to be back a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit in the polls. Because his message is sinking in. He's saying, this ain't no movie, baby. This is our state. This is our future. And if what happens in California happens, what people want to have happen happens, it's going to happen all across the country. And there'll be real chaos and mayhem, not the made-up stuff that the Iraqis think is going on over here when somebody turned out the lights. Dude, that was a good one, wasn't it? There's chaos in America. They don't know what they're doing. What are you talking about, man? I'm watching a ball game. Boy, they really got a fascination with us over there, don't they? Our music, our women. I wish our clothing, because they could really, and especially the lack of facial hair. So anyway, that's what's going to happen here. This time next week, call me back. Davis is back. Anyway, that's California. Who gives a crap? He's got to do something, though. He ain't making very good movies. I saw Terminator on TV the other day. It was because they hadn't taken them all off the air yet. But I'm nostalgic for how good a movie that was. The one where he played a bad guy. The one where he blew away that Mary Brown or whatever her name was. Remember that? Mary Brown. And she said, excuse me. And so he realized he had the right house and he just like opened up on her. That was one of the most wonderful moments in a film. I just sat back and went, what happened to those days? And then the F-U a-hole line, you know, he just, all that stuff came up. That's what you do well, man. Get back to doing that. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Our website is philhendryshow.com, www.philhendryshow.com, and our souvenir shop is in there. Check out our Best Of CDs and a bunch of other stuff. Now, we have a flashback coming up from yesterday's show. Is this Doug Danger? Okay, Danger was talking about a new book that he's written called Tough Love, The Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. And he goes right up to people and he tells them what he thinks of them and what he thinks they're doing wrong. And people have been saying to him, thank you very much. Like he walked up to a yuppie couple with a baby in a stroller and the guy was carrying a kid in a papoose. And he said, do you know how stupid you look with those kids? And they said, thank you very much. That's next on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I'm not gay and I'm not a journalist, but I tell you what, I got four great kids. If somebody were to walk up and say something like that to me, they'd be on the floor bleeding.
Well, what's the point? I'm just being honest with you. I've never seen your family, but these people looked idiotic.
It doesn't matter. Everybody has a right. And whether or not you want to walk around and flaunt your homosexuality fact that you're a journalist doesn't give you a right at any time to walk up and be rude and obnoxious like that.
No, I'm being honest.
My sister is a journalist in California. You know, you run your mouth, you let me talk.
You know I'm gay, right?
You're on my nickel.
You know I'm gay.
I don't give a damn. I think you're sick
your
for
nickel.
Being
gay. You call it an 800 line, sir.
You're sick for being gay.
You call it an 800
line,
sir.
That's wrong to begin with. But
I appreciate your
run your mouth
but
and talk.
If I felt your children were dirty, I'd tell you. I mean, why can't you appreciate the gift I'm giving you of honesty? If
you're just a sick pig. Kids get dirty. You were dirty as a child.
Yeah,
you
but
got
you don't
dirty. Your mother had to watch
that
you.
Way.
But, I mean, geez, it seems like you act like somebody should be walking around just falling at your feet and kissing the ground because you're gay and you're a journalist.
I'm a gay man.
Guess what? People have rights, and you don't have the right to walk around and talk like that to
them. Absolutely, you're right. People do have rights, but I am giving you the gift of honesty.
No, there's no but about it, and you're not the person who's so special as to walk around and insult people and their children.
I'm courageous.
I mean,
I came up to you
and tell my grandmother she was pathetic. She'd drop you to the ground, too.
I think many of these old people need to be told they look pathetic.
I don't think you've got the stones to stand up and be a man.
I have.
You want to walk around and be obnoxious and rude.
I have done that, Doug. And Lee, if I said to you, you need to shave that mullet, you'd be angry.
I don't have a mullet.
Well, you're a liar, because I know...
You can't call him a liar.
Oh, come on. You don't have a mullet.
Hey, bud, I got a crew cut. I haven't had a crew cut since I got out of the Marine Corps.
All right, Lee, let me ask a question of Doug here. Chapter 10 of your book, you walked up to a woman with a douche.
That's correct, yeah. Phil, I'm giving her the gift of honesty. You could smell her...
Oh, my God!
Well,
you just need to be in a hospital somewhere.
You're
really a very rude, obnoxious, nasty person.
Look, I'm a gay man.
I mean,
and a
you
gay
want to, you want to you want to approach a woman with a douche? It sounds like you're the person that needs the flushing because you're full of it.
Phil Hendry Show,
comedy gold.
There it is, our very own Doug Danger. And what do you think? Do you think a guy walking up to you and saying, "Could I use your teeth to chop down, clear some brush?" Do you think that's rude or is it tough love? Well, if you're a Republican, it's tough love. I'm joking around. I don't know anything about it. 1-800-449-8686. Who cares about politics, right? There's other things to do. P. Diddy's getting back together with J-Lo. Got to see that one. Boy, you ever talk about two people made for each other, that's it. I hear Reggie White, by the way, the latest news flash, latest guy to weigh in on life from the National Football League, Reggie White, I believe, still plays for the Green Bay Packers. Am I right or am I wrong? And he's a preacher, so you got to listen to a preacher, right? I mean, if a guy goes down to the corner store and buys himself a nickel application for the Universal Church of Life and goes and mails it and gets his preacher license in the mail 2 days later, along with a couple of box tops, so he can get that special plastic buzz gun, why, then you're a preacher, right? So Reggie's a preacher, and he says, according to him and his brilliance, blacks and whites, they can't mix. Now, he may be right. I don't know. For all I know. It's just that the reason why this guy, do you understand the reason why this guy is getting a platform on national television and radio and in the newspapers is because he plays for the Green Bay Packers. Does he have any real practical experience in these matters? No, he doesn't. Is he a particularly great preacher? Probably not. But everybody thinks he's greater than he is because he plays football for the Green Bay Packers. You understand? I bet you he's got an ego so big he'd come on this show. What do you think? I bet you he'd come on this show because his ego's so out of control that he couldn't pass up an opportunity to come on a radio program and make himself look like a total ass. Well, I was going to say the H word, but I'll say the W word, wipe. Or I should say the other W word, wash. Reggie White's weighing in. Speaking of football, ladies and gentlemen, here's the latest. You're going to love this. Michael Vick, as you may know, got hurt in a preseason game last weekend. I forget who they were playing, but I watched it happen, and when he went down, I went, all right! I mean, oh, that's too bad. Anyway, Vick went down, and now they're saying, is it worth it? Is preseason football worth it? This is the big controversy now. We've got a guy gets injured, and the game isn't even meaningful. Doug Johnson, who's the backup quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, he said, this is a brutal game. To sacrifice your body for a game that doesn't matter, that's a lot to ask. Well, Doug, I got news for you, pal. To make me spit up $50 a game for a game that doesn't matter, that's a lot to ask, too. So better you than me. So if you're making me pay $50 to walk through the gate and watch your sorry rear end out there, you better get hurt. The more often, the better. Get out there and play. Play. Well, the game didn't mean anything. Get out there and play.
I don't want to.
Why?
Then I'm going to get hurt. And I...
Oh, stop it. I paid $50 to get in here, man. Cost me $86 for a hot dog, $9 million for beer. I'm sitting up there, I don't want to see a ball game.
Yeah, but it doesn't even mean anything.
Well, then why do I got to pay as much as a regular season game?
I don't know.
I hate you backup quarterbacks, you know that?
Get away from me.
And that Vic, too. He's great. I give you that. Michael Vick is great. Sorry he's hurt. Sorry, you guys, the only shot that the Atlanta Falcons have ever had is with that guy. And nobody, nobody ever goes and wins a Super Bowl with a scrambling running quarterback. Never, ever, ever. And it ain't going to happen for the Falcons either. So they got a better shot with you, Johnson. Vic's injury last weekend once again put the spotlight on the NFL's lengthy preseason. Four games for most teams, five for those picked to play in foreign exhibitions or the Hall of Fame game. Percentage-wise, it's the longest warm-up season in any of the major pro sports. You don't need four games, Falcon linebacker Keith Brookings said. The coaching staff already knows 90% of the guys are going to be on the team before preseason. I got a great idea. Have the games, don't play everybody all the time, and don't charge the fans any money. Because nobody is talking about us. Everybody's talking about the players. You notice how it works? This is how it works. The first guy we're supposed to be concerned with here is the player and how much he's having to work. I'm paying the same amount of money. You must be making the same amount of money because I'm paying the same amount of money to go see these rotten, rotten, stinking examples of football games. It's been going on for years. No one cares. The fans say we don't want it, but the owners, just when I gave you that little economics lesson about 10 minutes ago, as long as the money's coming in, they will continue to squeeze every nickel and every dime. If the money doesn't come in, then they'll stop squeezing, and then you can, sit down and take a deep breath. You can put your clothes back on. But as long as it's coming in, they'll keep squeezing and squeezing and squeezing until finally he pulls off the rubber glove and says, you're cured. You don't need four games, he says. So Brookings and others wouldn't mind extending the regular season if it meant shortening the preseason schedule. Well, no one cares about you guys. They only care about us. And we say, if you're going to play, then make it count. And if you're not going to play, then we're not going to pay. Otherwise, why don't you just shut up, Johnson? Be thankful you got a gig playing football for a living, and you're not back where what you were doing, which was delivering prescriptions to old ladies for that pharmacy down the street. You ever notice what these guys are doing when they're not playing football? Bill Jenkins was sweeping up a grocery store 2 weeks before he was called to free agent camp. Well, what does that tell you? So Vic got hurt, and everybody's worried about the preseason schedule. By the way, pretty good games last weekend. I know you're a Jets fan, Mark. Did they win? No, they didn't win. The Chargers, the talk, for those of you outside of California, the Chargers, they're now negotiating with the city of San Diego because they recognize the fact is San Diego is a much, much better place for them to be. The fans down there love them. They are a permanent part of the sports scene in San Diego. The city of Los Angeles doesn't want them. We're not going to build them a stadium. It ain't going to happen in a million years. I don't know what they're thinking coming up here. And if anybody tries to use any public money to build a football stadium up here, somebody is going to get really pissed off, probably me. Anybody wants to use public bread to build a football stadium up here, my clothes come off right out here in the middle of Ventura Boulevard, and I'll just be streaking the whole street all night long, just like that guy down in Atlanta did. They'll find puddles of vomit and martini glasses. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. And who are these guys, this Ann Schultz and, these millionaires that keep wanting to bring these ball clubs out here? Keep your teams out of here. San Diego, good move. Chargers, good move. Get back into discussions with the city of San Diego. Get back. I'm saying this directly to the San Diego Chargers. Get back as soon as you can into direct discussions. Get the principals together. Let's get the stadium thing worked out in San Diego because we don't want you here. We don't want you here, and we're not going to build you a stadium up here. Stay down there with everybody that breathes through their mouth down there in San Diego. Stay down there with all the mouth breathers and all the people that are damn sure going to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know that one, because he's their kind of guy, loincloth and all. Spear, loincloth and all. Stay in San Diego. That's where you belong. L.A. doesn't have a football team, then L.A. doesn't have a football team. And that's just the way it's going to go. That's just the way it's going to be. I was in Atlanta, you know, I told you 2 weeks ago, and they're lined up around a block to go to that Georgia Dome. It's a good ballpark. I don't know how they extorted the money out of the taxpayers of Atlanta and Georgia to build that place, but I think it was with restaurant money and that, you know, that restaurant tax thing. Tourist tax, I think is how they put it. But somehow they put a gun to somebody's head. They stuck a gun in someone's ribs to build that place. It's a great ballpark. But let me tell you this, and this is the greatest lie of all. They like to always tell you that, do you know the impact it'll have on the economy and the jobs it will create? That is such poo-poo. I mean, that is just fragrant diaper stuffing. Huh? Are you kidding me or what? That's what they like to pitch you. And then guess what? 10 years later, when they're not getting a sweetheart deal on the stadium, they move. Yeah, yeah, you're right, man. Yeah. There's going to be more parking lot cleanup jobs, and there's going to be more selling hot dog jobs, and there's going to be more car parking jobs. There's going to be a whole lot of real menial, minimum wage gigs when you build a ballpark. That's what they mean, and that's that pitch they always like to give you. That's the jobs they create in these towns.
You know, the impact on our local economy could be in the millions. It could be in the billions. It could be in the...
Yeah, and more guys walking around with those big yellow fingers to sell. There you go. More guys walking around with the big funny hats and the big yellow fingers that some guys... You know, every time they go to the stand, somebody's shaking one of those things. Why don't they make the obvious one, the middle finger one? I'd buy that, man. I'd buy out a warehouse of those things and shake that thing in front of Al Michaels' face. No, ain't gonna happen, sweetheart. No ballpark up here. Unless you want to come up and build it yourself. It's a novel idea. I realize that it's never been tried before. In some places it has. But here's a really novel idea. Build it yourself. And pay for it yourself. I just read where the Philadelphia Eagles and that ballpark they got in Philadelphia, what's it called, the Lincoln Toilet Field or something? Lincoln Toilets Field, that's what it is. And the arrogance of these guys, they don't have enough handicapped parking spaces because they're so cheap. They're so cheap that they can't put in enough parking spaces for some poor crippled people to want to come and watch their lousy football game. And they have the arrogance to talk about all of the amenities that the state of Pennsylvania and the city of Philadelphia kicked the money in for. And if the Eagles put up any money, I'll be shocked to know how much it was. I bet you they might have peed into a bucket and gave it to them. Here, this will jumpstart the toilets. And then they build a ballpark, and the poor crippled folks out there in the Philly, man, they got no place to park. And it just keeps going on and going on and going on, and we just keep falling for it day in and day out. And we all think that we're tired of taxes, but by God, we ain't afraid to pay a tax. We're going to put a ballpark up someplace so these cat like Doug Johnson can sit there and say, I don't want to go out there because the game doesn't mean anything. Why should I hurt me? You're not putting your butt on the line, Henry. Hey, let me tell you something, Ace. Let me tell you something, party boy, football player. I'm the guy that's sticking my money in the till. Oh, yes, you can sit there and drink a beer. Well, you want me there, don't you? If I ain't there, jackass, you ain't making the money.
Yeah, this is a much tougher game, you know. I gotta get out there, I get injured, that's the end of my career.
Well, maybe you should have thought of that when you were in college, dumbbell. Maybe you should have taken something else besides football 101. Like maybe business administration. Is that what dumbbells like you take? Dumb football players? Business administration. You can go out and business, you know, B-U, not business, business. Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Okay, good.
You know, the life expectancy of a pro football player is only 6 years, and we really get...
Yeah, okay, so? You're not in the Army, you're not in the Marines, you're not in the Navy, you're not doing anything for me, you're playing football. Look, I got a great job for you, man, okay? See those boxes over there? I need them cleared off the pier by the end of the day, all right? I'll pay you $5 for every box. Go.
Yeah, the fans don't know what it takes, man. They come out there and boo us. They don't appreciate what we do. Oh.
Hey, Maddox, I saw Maddox, by the way, check out our site of the week, Maddox, that's the most brilliant site on the internet. Anyway, he's got a great shampoo for you there, Johnson. It's called Baby No Tears, that Johnson & Johnson No Tear Shampoo. Why don't you try some of that? Get out there and play football, and you better play it good, man, or we ain't going to watch anymore. You got that? We want Super Bowls. We want playoffs. We want exciting plays. I want to see guys airplaning through the air, just like that when Mark Duper got hit by those Jets that one time. Remember that? Remember when Duper went around like an air, like a propeller blade? That was bitching. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And if that isn't enough, the WNBA now is up to their they're up to their jock straps in it. The WNBA, some diesel dyke by the name of Latasha Byers or Beers or Beard or Beard, is under investigation for allegedly sexually assaulting a former teammate. You know, if you have to ask me why I'm upset or concerned about these things, it's kind of like where they say if you have to ask how much, you can't afford it. You ever heard people say that? You know, like for a house or a car, if you have to ask how much, then you can't afford it. If you have to ask me why I am twisted up about these people, then you ain't ever going to get it. You ain't never going to get it. So now the WNBA, you know, do yourselves a favor, ladies. Before you turn into another NBA, just fold the league now. Because you're now you officially got some garbage in your league too. Allegedly, sexually assaulting a teammate. They don't even do that in the NBA, do they? Or is that stuff about Shaq and Allen Iverson true? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Now, the latest is there is a Supreme Court judge in the state of Alabama. He's the Alabama State Supreme Court Chief Justice. And this guy doesn't want a cement replica of the Ten Commandments taken away from the courthouse. There is a cement monument to the Ten Commandments, and he doesn't want that taken away. And he has even said that he will engage in civil disobedience. The other judges on the Supreme Court, not to mention 200 years of constitutional interpretation, as our constitutional view of society has evolved, tells us that the public sponsoring the public, that is the public sector sponsoring religious celebration, is unconstitutional. But this guy is such an egomaniac, and this is where we're getting, this is the problem. Let me explain to you how it happened. It all started with the Civil War. We kicked the crap out of the South. We left it so decimated. We left the South so impoverished and absolutely so destroyed. I mean, ripped up railroad tracks, burned homes, burned fields, destroyed the South to the point where the people clung to the only thing they could cling to, a Bible, the good book. It's not anything in the water. It isn't anything because it's so hot, there's nothing else to do. It's as the direct result of the annihilation of the South of the Civil War that they began hanging on to the Bible. That's why we call that part of the world the Bible Belt. And in clinging so tightly to that Bible, some of them have gone insane. We've seen examples of it down through the years. And now we have another example of a man who claims to be a Supreme Court justice who thinks he's better than everybody else, thinks he's above the law, thinks that he knows better than everybody else. The other Supreme Court justice said this is a violation of the Supreme Court, of the separation of church and state in the United States. And, of course, then they'll tell you it's freedom from religion, not freedom of religion, and freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And so they're going through this 3 days running now. This has been at the top of the news about these Ten Commandments out in front of a courthouse in Alabama, as if we haven't got churches, as if we haven't got our private homes. homes, as if we haven't got private clubs, as if we haven't got a million places where people can practice their religion freely and without any harassment at all, without any molestation at all. You can practice your religion. You can practice it on your front lawn, your backyard, in the nude, fully clothed. You can practice it while you're eating, while you're fasting, while you're dieting, while you're exercising. You can pray out loud. You can pray. You just can't do it in certain areas of this country. But that's not good enough for those guys. No, that ain't good enough. They gotta stick at places that it's not even wanted. Look, not in a public... No. Constitution said... Oh, will you stop already, man? Isn't it enough for you cats? You got the church. Can't you go down there? Hey, it's on the money. Yeah, you're right. It is. It says, in God we trust on the money. Traditionally, we have put that on the money. It hasn't seemed to come to a head in terms of constitutional interpretation yet, but it will. Would you like me to start that one? I'll do it. Take it off the money. Well, we have an oath of office that we swear to God. Yes, you do swear to God, but you also swear to God that you are bound. You are bound by the law. You're just another one of these megalomaniacal, borderline unstable, southern ideologues, southern zealots, who thinks the world rotates around you. Just like that guy Wallace. He thought the whole world spun around him. He thought he was it. First memory I have as a kid of a news story, other than I remember I was a little kid and I heard that Pope Pius had croaked. The other one was watching Wallace standing in the doorway of the University of Alabama, and he wouldn't let those students in. And he had these two dumb-looking cops, two blue-helmeted, dumbass Alabama troopers standing next to him. And he was giving some speech that I could hardly understand. I must have been nine. And there were two students, two black students there. I remember seeing the girl holding the books. And the U.S. Attorney General was talking to him, saying, you have to get out of the door. They have a right to go to school here. I mean, we've had to fight every step of the way some of these individuals in these states that think that it's still 1812. And I remember thinking, I was 9 years old, I remember looking at this guy Wallace and thinking, who is this dumbass? I'm nine, and I recognized it right away. I said, who is this man? These people, they want to go to school. Why won't he let them go to school? Well, they were black. And Wallace, by the way, he wasn't the racist everybody says. He was a politician. He thought he was playing the right side of the street. It proved to be wrong. He wasn't too bright. He wasn't that bright, anyway. He was a politician, but he wasn't bright enough to know which side of the street he should be working. And he should have been working the other side of the street. Instead, he was working the same side of the street the Klan was working, and that wasn't too smart. Well, you know, you roll the dice, you pays your money, you take your chances. But the fact of the matter is that this is the United States of America, this ain't the United States of Alabama, and the Constitution has been interpreted many times in this century in favor of a separation of church and state to the point where these religious icons are not on public property, and that's the way it's going. This guy, he wants to start something all over again. They got a prayer vigil going. And they got this, they got that, they got something else. We've had religious icons in this country for years. In fact, we had religious symbols all over public property during the heyday of slavery. Are you telling me that saved the morality of America? Why don't you guys find another something to do, man? I got a Scrabble game that I'm done with. Seriously, man, my daughter's getting rid of her wrist game. I got a couple of those walk me, talk me, squeeze me little dolls. Anything, man. A hobby. A crossword puzzle. A nap. A long nap. Work on your car. You paint the house, put in some new tile in the kitchen, anything but this silly-ass stuff that takes up everybody's time and imagination and trouble. And I've been trying to ignore it. I swear to God, the last 2 days I've just been, you know, here comes the news. Alabama still wrestling with the, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I just like, but I would hide from it. It'll go away. I swear to God, it'll go away. And there it is again. Judge says he will fight the cut. Well, finally, I looked at this guy, and I saw him on TV today, this Alabama judge. He's the biggest ego case. I can tell you, I see these guys coming 3 miles off. I can see these guys coming from a block down the street. The guy's an ego case. The guy thinks that he's the voice of God. He thinks that he's the last moral knight fighting the good fight. He imagines himself in a pulpit, kind of feeding the fishes and the loaves to the people in place of Jesus. He's a typical demagogue. He's a typical Southern ideologue, the kind of guy that, you know, went from town to town in a tent preaching salvation and hope to the impoverished people of that that part of the world. We should have never gone to war with the Southerners, man. We should have let them just secede. You know what? Seriously, we should have let them secede. It ain't been worth it. It hasn't been worth it. Got to put up with this crap every freaking 5 years. Somebody else down there. Well, now let's revisit this civil rights thing. Something else happens down there. Just secede already. Go away. I'm telling you, because it was the direct result of the Civil War that created this environment in the first place. If we would have let them catch this go the way they wanted to go, by now, who knows? Maybe they would have been, maybe they would have had some good resort hotels down there. And with that slavery thing, I mean, their economy would be booming. Maybe they had something with that slavery thing. I don't know. Shipbuilding business to take off down there in Tampa? Steinbrenner, he would have been able to buy 3 New York Yankees. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know that judge in Alabama? It just occurred to me. That's why they made Hollywood. That's why they made Hollywood, judge, so you can come out here and do that stuff. They'll be pulling it down there, pulling it down with the good people down there. They're trying to, from one day to the next, you know, go to work, come home, do it. And you're standing at a courthouse steps and just, I'll say what I'd like to do now is represent Jesus. We will. Just come out to Hollywood and have an acting career. That's what you need. Cat's going to sit in his apartment late at night. Dear Jesus. What are you doing, Judge?
I'm writing my memoirs. Miss Pauly, another Coca-Cola.
Dear Jesus. Today, you're writing a memoir. Look, I got a script you got to read, man. You got a
script? Me being in the movies?
Yeah.
Well, I was in a school play at one time.
Well, I think you can do it. Miss Pauly, if you get the Coca-Cola, I'm gone. That's why they made Hollywood, baby. Come on out here. Lay all that bull crap on us out here, man. They love that stuff out here. All of that baloney. You can go to a party and lay a bunch of... Everybody can think you just fit right in, man. You fit right in. With all that egomaniacal, self-interested, narcissistic, beating your chest, conceited bull crap. You fit right... Any party out here, man. You sit around, stand around a pool, man. You fit right in. Lay all that, give me another Coca-Cola. They think that stuff's out of sight, man. You'd be on Good Day San Diego. Don't be out in freaking Alabama bugging people with that. 10 Commandments? I say take a sledgehammer, a freaking flamethrower, anything. Get that thing out of there. The judge has ruled, and that jackball judge, he got nothing to say about it. Somebody go up to that thing, I'd take a freaking Gatling gun, man, and blast that thing right off of that pedestal. Does it mean I hate God? No, it got nothing to do with hating God. Well, maybe I do hate God. What business is it of yours? Who says I gotta believe what you believe anyway? Where is it written? What has happened to this country? Do you believe in God? What if I don't? What if I do?
We'll have to get back to you on that then, Phil, on your house application. And
oh, I see. You're going to blue line my ass because I'm an atheist now, huh? Actually, I'm not an atheist. I think atheists are very funny. I think atheists are, there's no real atheists. There's just people that are all pissed off at God because they didn't get a truck they wanted, or their mother died when they were 8, or their father was a child molester. They're just pissed at God, and they figure if they say that they don't believe in God, they're getting back at God. It's probably the most childish mindset that there is the atheist mindset. It is infantile. It is strictly infantile. It's like, take your do and play with it, and oh yeah, I don't believe in God. Seriously, you got your hand in the diaper, and you have, I don't know where the other one is. One hand in your diaper and the other one looking up satanic worship in the Yellow Pages. Anything to just reject God and, I'll show God, I'll be an atheist, then he'll be all sad. Okay, Listen, if you don't believe in him, then what are you trying to make him? Never mind, I don't want to make any sense out of it.
Why don't you just go back and read the Bible, you Bible thumper?
So that's where my head's there, okay? I'm with you, baby. Just get out of here already with this. Should the cross be here? Should the Bible be there? Should we have it hanging over there? Should we hang it upside down, man? Should somebody... Is it legal to have it hanging from your rear end? Can I stick it in my pants? Can I put it in my ear? In a public park? In a private zoo? God this, God that, here, there, everywhere. If you actually practiced the religion, if you actually practiced the religion, you wouldn't have to worry about whether or not there is a Ten Commandments publicly placed somewhere. If there was an actual application of the Christian faith anywhere in the world, anywhere in the world, we wouldn't have one half the problems we got today, and you wouldn't even be worried about whether there's a cross on a hill over here, or a freaking cross over there, or a Ten Commandments, or some guy standing on his head, you know, farting out Ave Maria. You wouldn't care, because people would be practicing the faith, and the faith, they tell me, would make this place a wonderful place to live. The reason why it isn't a wonderful place to live in the minds of people is because these people are hypocrites, liars and hypocrites, and they always have been. We've known this for years, years and years and years. The preacher man who molests children is part of the American, the apocryphy. It's part of our apocryphy. I said apocryphy, not hypocrisy. We know very well the religious hypocrite. He's been a part of our lives for 200 years and more. It's part of our jokes. It's part of our cocktail party jokes, the religious hypocrite. The phony, devout priests and preachers and the people at the parish and the people in the church who like to tell you how they live and how they live the life of Jesus, and they're nasty and they're mean and they're ugly and they're spiteful. I know them today, man. We sent our kids to a Christian school. Some of the nastiest, meanest, most insular bastards you ever met in your life are some of these people that have their kids at that school. And they call themselves, you ready? Get ready, because it's going to be a shocker, Christians. I wouldn't go across the street to pee on them if they were on fire. I wouldn't put it out with a Pepsi-Cola or a Coca-Cola. Because they ain't living the life, man. And you can have crosses on every hill in the world. You can have them every place, on street corners, churches. You can have youth meetings, whatever you want, man. You can have them all over the place. It ain't going to change anything until somebody starts living that life that I've been hearing so much about. But I don't see anybody living it. I don't see anybody living it. I hear a lot about it. I hear people telling me they're Christian left and right. And that goes for you ragheads, too, by the way. Particularly you ragheads. You've come into you are now in what is called my field of fire. All you Muslims out there with your big fat mouth about Allah this and Allah that, do me a favor. Quit running around and showing us what a wonderful person you are and start living your religion, whatever the hell that is. And just because she, you know, your wife comes walking into the restaurant wearing a sheet, man, it doesn't mean anything to me. Doesn't mean anything to me. Nothing. You know, I'll have respect so far as you have respect for me. The minute that runs out, you can take you and the two sheet-wearing women that you're with, because they always, you know, it's always in threes, one guy and two sheet-wearers, and you can get back into the pickup truck you got out of and get out of here. Go fertilize somebody else's field, if you will. Religion, as we have often said, doesn't rule the roost around here. It is accepted so long as it does not hurt people. The minute it begins to hurt people, then you don't get to practice it anymore. You got it? Just like these Santeria guys. Have you been hearing about that one? Oh, yeah. These people sacrifice animals. They torture and brutalize animals. Well, guess what? You don't get to practice your religion. We have freedom of religion. No, you don't. Not when you're hurting people. Not when you're hurting innocent creatures like that. Not when are you going to have a religion that molests kids? Going to tell me I have to protect you too? I'll set fire to your church. That's what I'll do. Religion is acceptable in our society, and the freedom to practice religion is acceptable in our society, so long as it does not interfere with the conduct of our society in a negative way. The minute that it does, you don't get to practice it anymore. And that's where that's at. We don't live in a theocracy. They live in a theocracy over in Iran. You can go over there and live. They live in theocracies in a lot of these underdeveloped toilet bowls of countries. Go over there and live over there. Go live with the Pope. Not in America. Not here. Never has been like that. These guys, these you cats in Miami, you better give it up, man. You're going to cut the throat of a poor innocent animal. You're torturing animals. There have been complaints from neighbors about this stuff. Well, you're going to get raided by the cops. I say the sooner the better. Drag your silly asses off to jail. It's part of my religion. It's the secret rite of the sacred sect. You know what? Somebody smoked far, far too much weed one night and came up with your silly religion. Somebody dosed somebody's cocktail one night with a little acid. Somebody just slipped a little ecstasy in there, and the cat scribbled away all night in a notebook in the corner of the kitchen, and the next thing you know, Santeria was born. And so we're all supposed to just go, well, excuse me while I step aside for the grand, what do you call, the grand wizard jackass jackball? Whatever the hell, man, with some cloak on your head and a chicken under your arm, you look like a freak. You look like some farmer, man, that's gone mad. You look like a farmer on acid. Guy's walking down the road with a chicken under his arm and one of the multicolored turbans on, and I'm supposed to go, well, geez, excuse me, here comes the grand jackball of Santeria. I swear to God, it's in Miami right now. But remember that, Janice? You showed me the story, didn't you? Or Chris did, about these Santeria people. Stop your silly baloney. And by the way, all you voodoo cats, too, you're all full of crap. Go ahead, stick a pin in my freaking head. Go make a... Here, I'll send you some hair. I'll send you hair. Stick a pin in me. Anywhere. Not there. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, our website, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, Art Griego was on our show. He's a guy who lives in a neighborhood somewhere, and he ran over a neighbor's kid and killed him. Art says it wasn't his fault. It was the kid's fault. He was on a scooter and darted out from behind a car, and he can't understand why the dead kid's mom won't go have a drink with him.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just think that people respond to incredibly traumatic incidents much the same way. You don't want to visit the scene of your child's death. A lot of people will drive. You're part of the scenery. You're the one that hit the kid. You killed the kid.
Well, wait a minute.
You didn't do it on purpose, but you don't want to go to a party and say, and, you know, plant it with your, with the person who's responsible for one of the greatest traumatic events of your life. Any more than you'd want to have a party and have your wife's ex-boyfriends there?
Well, here's what... No, wait a minute.
Boss that fired you there? You don't plant parties to
well, here's what
parties.
My suggestion, Michelle, was that I could go to her party and it would be a conversation topic. This is the man who killed my son.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a great fun.
Well, it's a way of healing.
Maybe you want to go to someone's party whose kid was molested. You could show snuff films. That would cheer him up.
Ma'am, I do not molest children, and I don't know
what
the reference
saying,
is.
You're
well, I mean, it's,
back. You're pushing her face in it.
I didn't give the boy the scooter. She did.
You're pushing his face in it. Scooters don't kill.
No, not much. This kid came flying out of that vacant lot like a bat out of hell, and it was almost as if I was meant to hit him. I mean, it was as if the kid wanted to be hit.
It was a freak accident. You know, a friend of mine, an older friend of mine, killed a kid. He was 13 years old.
Oh, yeah?
He was driving. He ran out in front. It wasn't her fault.
Huh.
She actually feels guilty about it. She doesn't even want to see the parents.
Right.
She she has remorse. That's something you don't know anything about.
But, ma'am, what I'm
you
suggesting...
You don't know anything about it.
Do you feel remorse?
I'm sorry?
Do you feel remorse, Mr. Griego, for hitting and dragging this kid 100 yards?
I don't understand.
Do you feel bad? Do you feel remorse? Do you feel sorry that you had whatever small part in the death of this child?
I don't know why I should. I mean,
I feel remorse over hitting a cat. I hit a cat in 1989.
A cat?
I still think about
I can understand that. I can understand that. I have three cats, so I know how you feel.
You know, this is someone's child, for crying out loud.
Ma'am, I'll tell you, I had to take 3 days off so the undercarriage of the Range Rover could be fixed. And that damaged my business in terms of...
Wait. We're talking about a boy that died, and you're worried about taking 3 days off so the undercarriage of your Rover can be fixed?
Well, I did everything I could, and I talked to the mother, and...
If that were my son, you'd be fixing your personal undercarriage. Drawing a chalk outline...
I drew a chalk outline so they could...
That's correct. You'd lose three pieces of your undercarriage if I saw that. That's no remorse.
And that cat you killed doesn't have a pool party that you don't get invited to. So that's something else.
You're such a big baby. Go to Burger King. They'll fix you a piece of meat.
No, ma'am. That cat doesn't have a pool party that you're invited to once a year. So, of course, you're not pissed off.
Well, that's true.
Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show. Comedy gold.
Right, because he didn't get invited to that lady's pool party. He said, look, I know I ran your kid over, but, you know, let bygones be bygones. Let's have a drink. Take you for a drive. That's Art Griego. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com. We really enjoy you going there and seeing some of the things that we have to offer. Go to our scrapbook and go into the... Go into our souvenir shop, because in the souvenir shop you're going to find some stuff that, you know, you might dig, like our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts and aprons. We got Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police paraphernalia. It's all there in our souvenir shop, along with our Best of CD. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Okay, any good calls we got up here, Chris? Okay. Here's David. Hello, David.
Oh, hi. How you doing, Phil?
Good.
You made a comment the other night about homeless people, and I thought I should comment because I used to be homeless. So I was homeless for almost 20 years, on and off. And you're right. You know, homeless people, a lot of them do have severe mental problems, and I was one of them. And what got me off the street was I started taking my meds, and I have schizophrenia. And once I got to where I was taking my meds regularly, I didn't want to live on the streets anymore, and I got off.
Okay, so you weren't talking to my screener about any of this, so I think you need to double up your meds. Because you don't know what you're saying from 1 minute to the next. See you later, David. Good luck. I don't know what he was talking about. Then I look at Chris, he goes, I don't know what he's talking about either. What was he talking about? Religion? Now it's homeless? Look, let me tell you something. There's a kind of a talk show caller that will call up just to hear the sound of his own voice. He'll call up and he'll talk about what you were talking about, or he'll talk about what you're talking about now. They're very trained by years and years of calling all the traditional shows. And basically they want to call up and prove to me how smart and witty they are, just like me. We don't need those calls. We don't want those calls. But don't worry about it, Chris. Leave it to me. I can hang up on them. Thank you. Charlie, hi. How you doing?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good.
Just wanted to call and thank you for being the first voice in the public arena that I have ever heard stand up for the viewpoints that I have had on religion for the past 40 years of my life. I really appreciate it.
Well, Charlie, I thank you. It's important to me. Please read my book.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'll buy a t-shirt. People.
Good, thank you. Go to my souvenir shop and buy lots of stuff.
Okay.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. Okay. Here's Ted. Hi, Ted.
How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good, man.
I had a couple of questions for you, Phil.
Okay.
What kind of religious nation do you think the U.S. is? Currently.
What kind of a question is that? What kind of a religious nation do I think the U.S. is?
Well, I ask you because you talk about culture and society.
Ted, let me explain to you what I've tried to explain. This is a country of law. Do you understand that? A country of law.
And you may say that there's
precedent and tradition, which we do try to honor, and we certainly have taken into consideration in the interpretation of law in this country. But it's a country of law, and I don't care if you say traditionally it was a Christian nation, because you individuals never get it. You guys never get it, you Christians. You talk up this crap about how it's a traditional Christian nation. Hey, dude, they didn't give women the vote either. They didn't give blacks the vote either. What are you doing, man? Are you playing? What is all that noise? Hello?
I'm on a cell phone.
So. Okay, sit down. Don't move. All don't right. go anywhere. I'm hearing all you. Right. You're moving around the garage. I know you're moving things. You're getting ready to... Where are you? It's just, you know, look, tradition is one thing. The law is the law.
Sure.
And if we don't have law, we have it's a madhouse. And believe
me,
we turn it over to religious people. We turn it over to religious... Hey, we turn this country over to religious people and it'll be our end. It'll be the end of this country.
So I agree with you, Phil. I'm saying there's a difference between religion. What you're saying is that religion and society need to be set apart. And what I'm saying is the reason we have problems in America is because that is the case. It's an image-based society.
Whatever. So the point of your call is what?
The point of my call is
you asked me what kind of religion this country was. What's the point of your call?
The point is that people put it on like it's an item of clothing, and the reason why we have problems is because it's
why did you ask me what kind of religion is this country? Why'd you ask me that?
Well, because you're talking about that it'd be fine with you if we took it off the quarters and the dollar bills. I mean,
I don't understand. What's the point of your question, man? Why did you ask me what kind of religion is America?
Because I think this nation now is what you want, but it began. And what you're saying in a way that...
Well, then why don't you get to it, man? Why don't you just get to your point? This nation right now, in other words, because you guys can't pull out a cross and stick it anywhere you want, anywhere you want, you just want to pull that cross out and shove it up anybody's rear end, you think America is a godless society. Is that it? Is that it? That's exactly what it is, because Christians can't take a cross out of their knapsack and cram it any place they want. We're a godless country. Because this egomaniac judge in Alabama, who ought to be on medication himself, can't stick the Ten Commandments on public property. We're a godless nation. Christianity in America has been co-opted by televangelists and egomaniacal morons that have no business reading a bedtime story.
I agree with you.
No, you don't agree with me. No, you don't. No, you don't agree with me. You don't. You have no idea what I'm saying. You think that this country today is a godless country and a separation. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Every time we got a problem with religion in this country, you want to know why? It isn't because we're taking rights away from Christians. It's because Christians are demanding to encroach more and more and more on the public sector. They want more of our space, and they want more of our courthouses, and they want more of our schools, and they want to have more religion and more prayer and more this and more that. That's enough to make a guy want to turn on the Thursday night NFL preseason game. I'd rather watch that. I'd rather watch Doug Johnson putting himself in harm's way, that poor baby, and me only paying $80 a game. All right, thanks a lot, sir, but I got very little patience with this topic. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you. Honest to God, I just got so little patience with this bullcrap. It's my own fault for bringing it up. Here. Get out of here with that whole freaking Alabama jackass story. Now, Elizabeth Smart's family has signed up. Tons and tons of money they're going to make from People Magazine and from TV. It's a big TV movie. And everybody's going to say they're greedy. I say more power to you. Ride it while you can. But you might want to think about giving Elizabeth a little bit of that, Jack, because she's the one that actually suffered, not you. Her parents signed a deal with it. And CBS, I got a little thing I want to tell you. TV movies suck. We all know, I'm not talking about HBO, those movies are great, but TV movies suck, and we also have to sit through TV commercials to watch them, and that's why I don't watch TV movies. I rarely ever, the last TV movie I actually sat down and followed, believe it or not, was The Stand. Remember The Stand? Remember Stephen King's The Stand? It was like back in 95. I'm not going to sit and watch a TV movie and sit through the crap can commercials and look at your bizarre take on history. So you're going to have the Elizabeth Smart story, huh? I can tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be some sanitized piece of crap, just like that Jessica Lynch movie that NBC's planning, that they're now going to tell through the eyes of the Iraqi instead of Jessica Lynch, because we found out now that Jessica Lynch's story is 90% bullcrap. I don't watch commercial TV anymore. I know you people do. I know everybody out there listening to me, you do. You watch all of the TV shows. You look at all the sitcom. I don't watch it. You know what? You know why? Because it sucks. That's why. It's a basic fact of science. If it blows, stay away from it. I ain't watching the Elizabeth Smart movie, but good for you guys. You take the money and run, baby. Almost makes me want to go out and get myself kidnapped so somebody will tell my story. What do you say, Chris? You kidnap me, I'll sodomize you, you beat me up, we'll sell the whole thing to NBC because they're dumb enough to buy it, and then the next thing you know, we're living on Easy Street, which is right next door to where Mr. Zucker lives, I think. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, Great White, you know, the band Great White, and the owners of the club where they were playing the night the fire broke out have been fined. You recall that tragic fire in February in Rhode Island. 100 people died in that nightclub fire. The U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration has fined the rock band $7,000 for failing to protect employees from fire hazards. Specifically, Great White has been charged with improper storage of pyrotechnics, failing to have a proper pyrotechnic license, and a bunch of other crap. The owners of the station is the name of the bar, have been fined just over $85,000, $70,000 just for installing an exit door that swung the wrong way. 100 people were killed at the station nightclub outside Providence when the fire broke out during the performance. I don't know if that's the end of this or not. But I got to tell you, if it's 80 G, I can own a toilet bowl, and for 80 G's, get out from underneath 100 incinerated corpses, baby, that's the business for me. These crap can, toilet can bars, man, don't you just love them? Toilets up one side, and we know who you are, we know you guys, we know the owners, we've been in your clubs, we've been in your nasty-ass, rotten, overpriced, watered-down drink toilet bowl bars. I've met some of the finest women in the world in some of these places. That's why I keep going back. The drinks suck. It's uncomfortably hot. No place to sit. But I keep coming back, don't I? Why? Because that little barmaid, she gave me the eye one night. I think she loves me. Now, I don't know why. Cover charge. When I was back in Atlanta, I said to my wife, let's go see my old pub. I used to go to this pub after I got off the air at midnight back in 92 when I worked in Atlanta. I get off the air at midnight on Saturday nights. I drive up to Buckhead, and I'd park out in front of my little club there, and at my little pub, it was a beautiful little joint. I'm not going to even mention on the air now because I don't want to give what it's turned into any publicity. And go in and have a brew. And I used to hang out with these air traffic controllers from Hartsfield International. These guys had some crazy-ass stories. And it was a kind of joint where they had a piano, and somebody who came in as a patron would just go and sit down and start playing tunes, and pretty soon everybody starts singing, right, about 11 o'clock at night. Just a cool place. And the bartenders were cool. Everybody was just great. I took Maria back there, said, let's go to my pub. Oh, well, now it's a cover charge to get in. A cover charge to what? So I have the pleasure of drinking in there? And the guy taking the money is some bald-headed slob. Like, all those guys look like slobs, and they all treat you like they're... Maybe I got a chip on my shoulder. I don't know. Maybe I walk in there with a problem. Maybe they see it. I don't know. But I tell you what, I'm going into that business. And Great White, you know, I met one of the guys in Great White down in Santa Ana when we were signing, and he was the guy was like a fan of our show, and I was very grateful. But I say that the 80s should now be put into a box and put in the attic. That includes you cats and Motley Crue and all of you guys. Just go away. Go away. Never liked you, man. Sorry. Cinderella I didn't like. Motley Crue I liked. But that Cinderella, are you kidding me? Somebody's nostalgic for those gay-ass guys? Forget it. The 80s. Can you think of a band that was worth... Think of one group, other than the Pet Shop Boys, that was worth it out of the 80s. I'm joking. Tesla? Well, how about Striper? The guys in Cinderella wore leg warmers on stage. Yeah, no kidding, they wore leg warmers. That ain't the only warmer they were wearing on stage. I'm joking with the gay comment. I shouldn't have said that, and I mean that in the sense that people say bad. But you know, never mind. Good riddance to the 80s, and while we're on the subject, the 70s. And thanks for, by the way, thanks for burning that Led Zeppelin 4 for me, Mark. It's sounding good in the car. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.